Chapter 26. Cascada. Heathclaw, Matwick's secretary, sent Titlock into Cascada to seek a special blend of tobacco for the Lord Regent. Titlock stopped at several shops, enduring the stares of numerous strangers unaccustomed to his disfigured face. The shopkeepers had sold out of their stores of this fashionable tobacco, but Titlock persevered, fearing that if he returned empty-handed, he'd be whipped. Finally, at a store near the quay, the clerk admitted that he had reserved a small stash.
"I need to buy it," said Titlock.
"I can't sell it to you," said the man, shaking his head. "My best customers, rich folk, duchesses and lords, expect this shipment."
"I'm not shopping for myself. The palace sent me. The Lord Regent desires this tobacco."
"The Lord Regent himself? Why didn't you say so?"
The man bustled about with an effusiveness even more embarrassing than his earlier disdain. Finally completing this commission, Titlock detoured to the North Downs neighbourhood to undertake an errand of his own. He wanted to check on Tutor Wrighton's mother. He hadn't been able to see her for half a year, and the old woman had become increasingly frail. The North Downs wasn't quite as poor as the slum where Titlock had grown up, but litter and leavings dotted the streets, and the inhabitants' clothes had shiny elbows and ragged cuffs. He climbed the flimsy stair treads to knock on Mistress Rister's door in the modest lodging house. No answer. He knocked harder, recalling that the old woman was hard of hearing. The door across the dim and dingy hallway opened.
"Oh, it's you," said the neighbour lady, a trim woman with a smart face as she wiped her hands on her apron. "She ain't there. Come in for a moment, why don't you?"
Titlock had met the neighbours several times in his visits to Mistress Rister, but he'd never been inside their flat. Their place fronted the street and sported big windows, and it looked cheerful and tidy, except for a clutter of something being assembled on a big oak table. Two little boys, giggling and making animal noises, chased one another through the two rooms. They both wore hand puppets, one a blue dragon and one a green sea monster. Titlock then realised that the table was covered with sewing tools and pieces of fabric, yarn and stuffing to make more toys.
"I was hoping I'd see you one more time," said the woman. "Would you like a cup of tisane?"
"Thank you. I've been running around the streets and I'm quite thirsty."
The dragon collided with his knees, bounced off and continued pursuing the sea creature with an increase in shouts and squeals.
"Here, it's brewed," she said, handing him a mug.
"Where is..."
"Mistress Rister died a fortnight ago. Peaceful, I hope. At any rate, in her sleep. I brought her some supper, but she said she weren't hungry. And when I checked on her in the morn, she was gone." Titlock digested the news.
"May she sleep forever on the eternal waters."
"Not to worry. I had her buried right and proper. Kind of sad that only six of us attended the service. Me and the boys, a brother of sorrow, a local underschool teacher and the teacher's sister. A life drained dry. And only six folk to say goodbye. And not one of us true kin. I would have sent for you, being you're a friend of her son's, you know, but I don't know where you live. In fact, I'm embarrassed to admit I don't know your name."
"I'm Titlock,"
he said, holding out his big hand.
"And I'm Ivy," said the woman, placing her smaller hand in his.
"I suppose my man, Sotison, knew your particulars, but..." She lowered her voice to a whisper. "He left us 2-3 moons ago."
The boy's noisy chase covered up her whisper.
"I'm sorry,"
said Titlock, not knowing what else to say, and wondering if now he needed to worry about Ivy.
"Never mind him. He ain't the boy's father, and he ain't hardly worth spit. I want to show you something.
Ivy got up and rummaged around through a cupboard, pulling out a thick book. Inside the cover were two letters protected by the book's leather binding.
I was hoping to see you, Master Ticklock, because I've got some news worth telling. Wrighton was able to smuggle a letter out to his mother, see?
Oh, he's alive!
Ticklock grinned with relief, and then he puzzled through all the ramifications of the news.
And his mother knew that before she passed.
Yep. Do you want to read the letter?
She held out the creased paper. Ticklock looked at the tiny handwriting, a little daunted.
Would you like me to read it to you?
Asked Mistress Ivy.
Boys, a little quieter, please.
She read aloud.
Mother, one of the jailers here has promised to try to deliver this. If he does, my prayers will have been answered. I am hale. No one mistreats me, though often I long for the comforts of home and your companionship. Boredom and loneliness are my biggest vexations. I have taken to writing poetry in my head to pass the time. If this jailer indulges me with more paper, I will write down my verses. I think of you often, Mother, and I worry about you more than you should concern yourself about me. With Nargis's grace, we will be together again, either on this side or the other of the eternal waters. Your loving and devoted son, R.
Ticklock was quiet a long moment thinking. Then he remarked,
"He doesn't say anything about where he is being held."
"No," said the neighbour. "I imagine the jailer wouldn't let him."
"Still, it must have been a terrible comfort to Mistress Worcester to get this."
I've never seen anyone weep from happiness before. When I think about what it might be like to not be able to see your son."
She tusked a few times, and her eyes rested on the children bouncing on a mattress in the other room.
"Quite a blessing that this arrived before she died."
She took a swallow from her own mug on the sewing table.
"I want to show you something else. This other paper I've got."
Ivy handed it to Ticklock, and he unfolded it. It wasn't a letter, but rather some type of legal document. It had seals and signatures.
"What is it?"
"This is the deed to their farm. Wrighton and his mother, they had to come from someplace, right? Well, they come from a little holding in Rivery, not far west of here. Mistress Rister told me they used to grow mostly cabbages. I can hardly imagine that frail lady or her educated son digging cabbages in the mud. Anyway, about 5 moons ago, she sent me for an advocate and she signed the property over to me upon her passing."
She looked Ticklock in the face, eager for him to believe that she hadn't taken advantage of an ailing old lady.
"I didn't have anything to do with this. I didn't even know she owned anything."
"She felt grateful to you," said Ticklock. "You looked after her faithfully all these years."
"Yeah, well, I would have done that for Peapods. She was a sweet soul and sympathetic. She would listen to my troubles with my man. She acted sort of like a grandmother to the boys. I think they miss her."
"What are you going to do with the farm, that is?"
"Well, at first I thought I would sell it and use the money for school fees. But lately I've been thinking it might be a good idea to leave Cascada."
Mistress Ivy glanced meaningfully out the front windows.
"Really?"
Ticklock said, for want of anything smarter to say.
"More tisane?" she offered.
Ticklock shook his head. The tisane had been weak and not very flavourful.
"Tell me, that get-up you wear, does that mean you work in the palace?"
"This is a worker's uniform, not as fancy as a footman's.
He gestured to his own doublet.
It doesn't have the braid.
So, do you know the Lord Regent, Lord Matwick?
Ticklock
raised his eyes over his mug.
A little.
Tell me, what sort of man is he?
Ivy looked down at her hands.
I don't know what you mean.
Is he kind and gentle, like Wrighton and Rister? Or is he conniving?
Ma! Ma! Called one of the boys from the other room. A dragon should win, shouldn't he, Ma?
Ticklock didn't know what to say. He didn't know what he could say. Ivy grabbed his forearm tightly. Tell me, Ticklock, please. I've heard some things, and I knew him long ago, and I need to know how he's turned out.
Once, when I bumped into him, he threatened to cut up the rest of my face,
he blurted out.
I thought as much,
said Ivy, as if this little anecdote decided something.
I think I'll take my boys out of the capital. Live quietly in the country, where we'll be unnoticed and safe. We'll learn how to farm and keep the house up in case Tutor Wright never gets released and needs a cosy hearth for his last years.
The sea monster chased the dragon through the front room again, filling the space with improbable lion-like growls.
Boys, I can't hear myself talk.
The roars fell down a notch.
Mistress Rister didn't say anything about her personal things, Mistress Ivy continued. Her clothes were more than worn. Mostly I've been using them as fabric. Found a few of his books I'd like to keep, if no one minds, to school my sons. But I unearthed one pretty thing. I'm thinking mayhap it was a present someone gave her.
Ivy moved into the bedroom and came back with a flat package wrapped in many layers of paper.
It's old silk, and it's got a lovely feel to it. It's got nary a spot on it. I've been wondering if you'd like to have it. You've been looking in on her for years, too. Give it to your mother or sister as a shawl.
I don't have a mother or a sister, said Ticklock, but I do have a sweetheart.
Really? Said the neighbour with mild surprise. Then she smiled, showing all her teeth, and commented,
Now ain't she a lucky gal? And Ticklock decided that he liked her.